Welcome to the Faith Connection with Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church in San Antonio, Texas.
Amen. So let's get to the Word of God and we get to the Lord's Supper. 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 20. It reads as thus. When Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open the eastern window, and he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, or Syria, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times. Can I add seven or eight or nine times? Keep striking the ground, man. He exclaimed, then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. Then Elisha died and was buried. I want to encourage your hearts this morning. It will strengthen you in your faith in this word that you ought to keep shooting. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, keep shooting. You may be seated in the presence of keep on faithing, keep on believing in God. Keep on trusting God for his promises. Keep shooting. Thank you so much, ushers. Someone made a profound statement a long time ago. There's always too early to quit. But how often do we quit on things in life? How often do we quit on seeing people come to Christ? We just simply throw in the towel and leave them alone. How often do we quit on things being better in marriage relationships, that we simply accept the status quo? It's just going to be this way, and so we simply quit. We give up. We don't try to work at it anymore. How often do we quit on important and critical things in life? But the question I want to ask you this morning, how often do you quit in your faith? Do you ever struggle with your faith to believe God for a certain thing that you look out and you see an enemy, you see an obstruction, you see opposition, and sometimes it seems like it's too much and it's too big, it's been around for too long, like a Syrian army, it just won't quit bugging you and bothering you and fighting you, and sometimes I'm just tired and I give up. So the question is, will you be consistent enough in your faith to keep on faithing, to keep on believing, to keep on trusting until you see your breakthrough, until you see complete victory in a particular area in your life? Or are you just like most of us, that there are times that we struggle in our faith, struggling faith? I think about Abraham, that he was given the promise of God to be the father of many nations. But when you study the story of Abraham, God had to tell him seven times that the blessing is yours. You will be the father of many. Seven times he had to tell him before Abraham was finally convinced that what God said was true. What about Sarah, his wife? That God said, girl, you're going to have a baby. She said, no, I'm too old for that. That's not going to happen. She even laughed at what God said. God said, why is she laughing, Abraham? Is there anything too hard for God? She struggled in her faith. What about King David? We know King David as a man of faith. That he was a man that was the apple of God's eye, that he was a man after God's own heart. But when you look at the Psalms, time and time again, we see a doubting David, a David that's filled with fear because of the foes that are in front of him. as we also see the many victories that he talks about in the Psalms. What about John the Baptist? That great preacher who came in the wilderness, strange guy, wearing strange clothes, eating strange stuff, so telling people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus showed up to be baptized by him, he said, behold the Lamb, which comes to take away the sins of the world. This same John the Baptist found himself incarcerated. He was in jail. And he sends disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one? Are you the chosen one? Are you really the Messiah? Or should we look for another? Struggling in faith. What about Thomas? that great disciple of Jesus. That when Jesus said, I must needs go to Jerusalem. And they said, the disciple, you're going to go, you're going to die. But Thomas stood up and said, listen, we're going to go. And we're going to go with, if we die, we're going to die. But we're going with him. But this same Thomas struggled in his faith. Because when he heard that Jesus was risen from the dead, what did he do? It can be so. So they called him Doubting Thomas. What about Peter? Come here, Peter. I'm talking about struggling. Anybody ever struggle in your faith for real, though? Come here, bold Peter, courageous Peter. That when they came to get Jesus to arrest, he cut off a soldier's ear. This is the same Peter that walked on water until he saw the storm and how bad it was, and he began to sink. That Peter and his faith, they began to sink. The same Peter that when Jesus was arrested, that he said, look, I don't know the man. That he denied him. That he swore with cussing and swearing. I don't know this Jesus. But that's Abraham and Sarah and John and David and Peter. But what about us today? Can't we be honest as we evaluate our own faith and how strong or how weak it may be? Where are you in your faith walk with God? Have you ever felt like your faith misfired? That listen, you've got it aimed at a situation. You got it aimed at opposition and an enemy, but the enemy is not falling and you're wondering, what's wrong? And after a while, you stop trusting. You stop believing. You stop holding on. That God, I'm believing you for the salvation of my household and for my children, God. I keep faithing in it. I won't give up, but God, sometimes it looks like it's not going to come to pass. That maybe you feel like your body is riddled with pain right now and you're asking God for a healing. You keep on faithing and believing, shooting for what you believe God said will be yours, but the pain becomes unbearable. That you're shooting right now, the opposition that comes against your marriage relationship with all your heart. You're hoping it's going to get better. You try to keep faithing. You try to keep holding on. You try to keep trusting and believing. But somehow it seems like it's too big. It's not going to come to pass. And so sometimes we fall short. Just like the king in the text said, that we fall short when God says, keep on shooting. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. And don't give up. Too oftentimes we accept the status quo. God, I pray to you. God, you told me what you would do, and something showed up. It was good, but it was not great. It fell short of what you really had for me, but I accepted, God, what I saw, because maybe that's enough, oh God, because can I believe you for any more, God? That don't mistake good for great. Don't mistake good things for the great blessings that God has for you and for me. So the story. So here's this king by the name of Jehoash, that he was the 12th king of Israel. That out of all the kings in the northern kingdom, they were all evil. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was no different, although he tolerated idol worship. He let the people do what they wanted to do. But I think Jehoash had a little glimpse of God in him, because he goes to this prophet by the name of Elisha. That Elisha is, he's about to die, y'all. And so the king goes to him. And the text says, listen, that he wept. That he wept for the prophet. He wept for the man of God. That this Elisha says, man, listen, take this arrow and shoot it. And He did what he told him to do, and he told him, listen, it represents the battles that you will win. Every arrow that you shoot, it will represent the battles that you will win. So he shoots one in the direction of Aphek, where Syria was, and he takes the other arrows, y'all, and he shoots them to the ground. You got to get the picture of this. Because what he's saying to him, every time you shoot an arrow, shoot, that's going to be a victory. Every time shoot, that's going to be a victory. Syria's going to come against you, but shoot, it's going to be a victory. It's going to be a victory. It's going to be victory after victory, but he only shoots three arrows. The Bible says Elijah was hot as fish grease. Well, that's what I said. That's how I said. You got a hold of these arrows, and I told you the commandment to shoot, man, and all you can shoot is three arrows? Come on now. And so it shows us how this king and how his faith failed. The text doesn't tell us why he only shot three arrows, but we can look at our own lives and ask ourselves, what is it that caused me to stop faithing in God? When God gives me a promise and tells me a thing to do, it didn't have to make sense to anybody else, but we fall short by giving up, throwing in the towel. Well, so have you stopped faithing? That's the expression I use, in any area of your life. God wants you to maintain and hold on to a consistent faith. This story helps us to understand that consistent faith brings complete victory. If God is asking you to keep on shooting, to keep on going forward, for whatever reason, don't fall short. Don't give up. The total victory and breakthrough is yours when God promises it. I wonder how many people in the house today, you need some breakthrough. And so what do you mean by breakthrough, preacher? What do you mean, pastor? Listen, you've been trying to get to something. You've been asking God for something. You've been praying about God. You've been crying about something. And it seems like there's a wall that's coming in your way. You can't get through the wall. Maybe it's some addiction that you have. Maybe it's some victory you need in your home, in your family. Maybe you need it today. You've been asking God for it. Maybe it's in your body. But every time you come in, but you're waiting for that breakthrough, that you're looking for victory. And God is saying to you and to me today to hold on. Don't give up. Keep on shooting. Keep on faithing. Keep on hoping. And don't give up. So then how do we keep this consistent faith? The face of opposition. How do we hold on and not give up and not throw in the towel? And in the face of God's promises, how do we keep on keeping on? That's the question today. And so I believe real quickly here, the first thing that can help us to stay consistent in our faith to gain complete victory is this. Remember that it's God's power and not ours. As you're trying to remain consistent in your faith until God brings something to pass in your life, you got to remember that. Remember, it's God's power and not our power. So Jehoash visits this dying prophet. And he makes this statement, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers or the chariots and the horses that he cries out. Well, what does that mean? Well, to help us, I think we need to go back in your Bible. If you got your Bible, go back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we find this story of Elijah. I didn't say sure. That Elijah was the great prophet of God. And Elisha was his mentor. That wherever Elijah went, Elisha would follow him. He learned from him how to be a prophet. How to be the man of God that God called him to be. But in 2 Kings chapter 2, God is calling Elijah. Say, man, listen, you come on up. Your work is done. That Elisha is going to be your successor. But Elijah didn't see death. That the Bible lets us know that God caught him up in a whirlwind with chariots and fire, and he was taken up and he was no more. So they're walking, and Elijah and Elisha and groups of people are telling Elisha, listen, your master, look, God's going to take him away, y'all. He's going to be gone. He said, I know, but just stop talking about it. I don't want to hear that. There are people in our lives that are so precious to us, that we're so endeared to, that God, we would never want to see them taken away. That people, well, mama's got to go, dad has got to, I know, but don't talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. And we hold on to them as long as we can. They're endeared to us and we love them. So group after group began to tell Elisha, listen, the man of God's going to be taken away. And then we look on in the text and down in verses 11 and 12. And it says, they were walking along, and suddenly the chariot of fire and horses separated the two men, Elijah and Elisha, and carried Elijah away in a whirlwind into heaven. He saw chariots of fire. They were separate. He saw all of this. And what does Elisha say? My father, I see horses and chariots. I see the chariots and I see the charioteers. So let's connect the dot real quick. I don't want to hold you too long. So what he sees is a symbol of power, chariots and horses, instruments of war and power. Elijah and Elisha were symbols of chariots and horses in God's army, that God used them in powerful ways to prophesy, to do miracles, to work signs and wonders on behalf of the nation of Israel. So in the text today, as Jehoash is looking at this dying Elisha and quoting those same words, he's saying to him, listen, you are the powerful one. You're the one that was called by God. And now you're about to die, that he's weeping and crying over this great prophet Elisha, who received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. But he's about to die. As if he's saying to him, listen, you leaving us, so what else going to do? What does Elisha say to him? Man, pick up the bow. pick up the bow, Jehoash. Pick it up and pick up some arrows. Again, bow and arrow, instruments of war. They in themselves represent power, but not Elisha's power, that it was God's power. That the bow and the arrow represented the power of God over the nation of Israel, that God was their great warrior. I need somebody to know today, God is your great warrior. That whatever you're struggling in, whatever you're dealing with, God is your great power. God is the warrior in your life today, in my life today. So the first lesson we have to understand, listen, it's all about God's power and not ours. That we have to remember that, because oftentimes we try to take circumstances into our own hands. That we try to assert our own authority and power in a situation, and we fail miserably. That if you're going to keep a consistent faith that sees you through to breakthrough, in total victory. Listen, you have to know it's about God's power. And not anybody ever suffer from a power failure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That you tried on your own. You tried to figure it out on your own and do it on your own. But your power failed. Your strength failed. But God has the power to destroy habits and sins. He has the power to give us success in warfare. He has power to give us success in ministry, Living Faith Community Church. That it's about God's power and not ours. And sometimes we need this fresh encounter, I think, of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Because we receive power through him. After that, the Holy Spirit has come before. You shall receive power. Power to be witnesses. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Power to live a life that pleases God. Power to hold on and keep on until you see your breakthrough or your victory. Total victory and complete victory. First principle then is, it's all about God's power, not our own. The second thing, that it's God's hands and not ours. Jehoash, pick up the bow. Look at the text, y'all. He says, Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his hands, catch that, and Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. Elisha, pick up the bow, but the man of God, symbolizing God's power and strength, he put his hands on Elisha's hands. Some of y'all ain't caught that yet. That this man that symbolizes, represents God himself, the bow with your hands. And the king, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. What does that say to us today? That listen, God calls us to do a certain thing. God gives us a responsibility to do a thing, but we always want God's hands on our hands. That without God's hands, we would but fail. Come on, somebody. We would but fail. God, keep your hands on us. How often do we try to take things into our own hands? To do it our way. What we think we're big and bad enough. I can handle this. God, thank you, but I can do this. I can figure this out. I can do it. But our prayer should always be, God, keep your hands on me. I think about Jesus when he went to the cross. That he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That there were many hands that handled Jesus, hateful hands, hurting hands. They beat him, they whipped him, they nailed him to a cross. But in the final analysis, he says, God, but I need your hands. God, keep your hands on me. God, into your spirit, I commit myself into your hands, oh God. We need the hands, God, in our lives. That he says, pick up the bow. And Elisha put his hands on his. But notice something too, that Jehoash did not take his hands off the bow, that he kept it there. That I believe that sometimes in life when God says, totally take your hand off of a situation, you let go of it. But more often than not, y'all, I believe God does it this way. Listen, God gives us again the responsibility, a thing to do. That the king's responsibility was to help bring victory for his people. And so his responsibility, keep your hand on the bow. That Elisha has his hands on the bow, but king, don't you let go. That God oftentimes wants us to cooperate with him in his work. That we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. That it's our responsibility. But the good news is that God has his hands on us. His hands that guide us and protect us and cover us and keep us. Thank God for his hands. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4 says this, for the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies. He will give you victory. I'm getting to my last point, y'all, and we're going to be out of here. That it's really about God's victory and ours. Realize it's God's victory and not ours. Elisha says, go to the east window. Shoot towards Aphek. That's where the battle's going to take place. Do it in faith. The battle ain't took place yet. You may not be able to see it, but pick up the arrow and shoot out the window. That the enemy, I can't see him out there. But remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The thing is not seen. You couldn't actually see the enemy, but by faith he picked up the arrow, opened the east window, and he began to fire. Now, this firing of the arrow, it symbolized a provocation of war. That there is an intent. They would have understood it. There's an intent that you're going to go to war against an enemy, against an opposing threat. And so you shoot the arrow. That means, listen, I'm about to mollywob you. Listen, we're going to war. We getting ready to throw down. We getting ready to fight. And my intention is to win. And so he's obedient. He does what the prophet tells him to do. But listen, God is saying, I'm going to give you victory. And here's the thing, without this encounter, that this king could have gone against the Syrians, beat them, but thought that it was his victory, that he did it all by himself. How many people believe that because they have success or because they have status, they attained to a certain thing and that they got there by themselves? Don't fool yourself. How many people believe that you overcome some stuff in your life? You overcome some struggles. You overcome some obstacles. I mean, you did it all by yourself. No, you didn't. That every victory we have is only because of God. And if you're looking for victory today, you need to look to God. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. that it's God's victory in his grace and in his mercy. He gives the victory to us. I think about King Jehoshaphat when he ran up against the enemies of Moab and all these folks wanted to destroy them, that he goes to God and he begins to cry out to God and to pray to God. And God gives him this strange way to beat the enemy, that he calls them together. He called to begin to sing songs and to begin to praise. And at the end of the day, listen, the enemies were destroyed. And so if we believe that their victory is really God's and God gives us the victory, then we ought to praise God. And we can praise God in advance for the victory. You may not be able to see it yet. You can't feel it, but you know it's your, because God promised he would give you the victory. God promised he would give me the victory. The victory is God, it's not ours. And my prayer is that God would do something so great in our lives that all we can scream out and say is that, God, it wasn't nobody but you. God, the only way I came out, it was you. The only way I came over, it was because of you. God, I only came, it was because of you, God. And we would give God the praise for the victory. So we can maintain a consistent faith in God who brings his power and his hands to our battles as we rejoice in his victory so that he so graciously gives to each and every one of us. So in this story that the bow, the arrow, there's no inherent power in the bow and the arrow. But the story is really about God's action, God speaking, and this man responding, this king responding to what God has spoken. That our life, it's really about God's action. It's about God speaking and us obeying God, us holding on to our faith and believing God for what God says to each and every one of us. What do you believe about God? Do you have enough faith to believe that God's promises are true and they are yes and they are whatever God said to you, God will bring it. God will bring it to pass. Do you have enough faith to believe that? And so he told him to pick up the bow. He picks up the bow. He says, shoot an arrow. So he takes it and he puts the arrow with the bow, aimed it towards the east. Don't y'all worry, it's rubber, y'all. It won't. I'm not gonna aim it towards you either. Some of y'all ducking already. Let me see if this thing will even shoot, y'all. I don't know. And he shoots the arrow. God says, victory's yours. He says, wait a minute. Now you take you three more arrows. I'm not gonna shoot it. But he says, go to the window again and shoot towards the ground. That's one victory. He says, that's one, okay. The king, oh, good. I'm going to shoot again. That's victory again. He's, wait. Can I shoot one more? Shoot again. And he shoots only three times. He got a bunch of more arrows to go. They're still back there. Elisha's angry with him. He said, listen, God wants to give you complete victory. God wants to give you total victory. But do you have enough faith in you to believe God for total victory, for total breakthrough? Listen, the enemy is against you. He wants to. Do you have enough faith in you to believe God for total victory? And so he said, keep on shooting. That's what, keep on, don't stop. Keep on shooting, keep on shooting, keep on faithing, keep on believing God for your family, keep on believing God for your job, keep on believing God for you. And when you seem like you're out of them, listen, I got some more to go here too, y'all. I'm going to keep on shooting, y'all. I ain't done yet. I'm consistent in my faith. I'm consistent in my faith. I'm going to keep on shooting, keep on shooting, keep on shooting, keep on shooting for my home, keep on shooting for my family, keep on shooting for my mind, keep on shooting against my, and it ain't enough, y'all. I'm going to keep on, y'all ain't got it yet. I'm going to keep on shooting, y'all. I'm going to keep on shooting until I get the victory. Keep shooting until you get the victory and you see breakthrough, until God gives you the victory. Fight for your family. Fight for your home. Fight for your mental health. Keep on fighting and don't give up. God wants you to keep on shooting because God wants to give you and me total victory and breakthrough. Hallelujah, somebody in the house today. Total victory. Total victory. Total victory. Hallelujah. breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. God, I need victory today. To see, regardless of what people think about me, oh God, I'm still good with you, that you still love. Victory, oh God. Victory over my mindset and my way of thinking, oh God. My small ways of thinking. I need victory and breakthrough in my head today and in my heart today. And God, whatever you promised, whatever you say to me, that I will do. And God, I'll believe by faith that whatever you say will come to pass. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, I'm going to keep on shooting. And I'm not going to give up. And the church said, amen and amen. Keep on shooting, somebody. Keep on shooting. Keep on trying. Keep on praying. Keep on hoping. Keep on believing in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this word today. God, you ask us to hold on and to trust you, to walk in faith. Today we offer you no excuses. God, I tried to hold on and believe, but it looks like it was just too big. The opposition was too big. That I've struggled with the thing for far too long in my life. Perhaps you struggle with an addiction, some problem, a relationship issue. But God, we know that you're bigger than our circumstances. That God, sometimes we feel like it doesn't take all of that. And so we believe you for a moment. And then we fall short. God, help us today. That sometimes we feel like it's not going to do us any good, oh God. We believe you on yesterday and the day before that and the day before that, and it didn't come to pass. But God, we maintain today that we're going to be consistent in our faith until we see your promises come to pass. And God, even if I'm on my deathbed and I know you promised me something, as long as I have breath in my body, I'll keep on believing you. Because I know you can fulfill your promises on this side or the other. But the thing that I will not do, I will not stop faithing in you, believing you, and trusting you, oh God, because you said it and I believe it. And God, we hold on to your unchanging hand. So we're determined, oh God, to keep on shooting, to keep on faithing. To keep on believing until you tell us to stop. Father, pray right now for those who are under the sound of my voice who may not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Your word says that you so loved the world, you did not give up on us. When humanity did everything it was big and bad enough to do, God, that you were patient and long-suffering. And in the fullness of time, you sent forth your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And he gave his life for us. 3 days later, he got back up with all power. It's this Jesus that we believe in. We admit that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe that Jesus Christ is your son. That he got up from the grave with all power. We confess our sins, oh God. We repent, we turn from them, and we turn to Jesus. We confess that he is Lord, that he is Savior. And we believe this with all of our heart. And your word says that settles it, that we are saved. And we can trust your word, and we can trust your promises. And even when it feels like by the way we behave, our attitudes, that we are not saved, your word declares that we are. And so we keep shooting, we keep fighting, we keep striving, we keep believing, we keep trusting, we hold on to faith as we walk in obedience to you. So Father, I pray in this moment you would draw those who are not in a saving relationship. Draw those, oh God, who are saved, but they're not settled in a church somewhere where they can worship with other believers, pray with other believers, praise with other believers, a fellowship with other believers. God, I pray that you would draw them by your Spirit. Do what only you can by the power of your Holy Spirit. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. After that prayer, perhaps there's someone here today and You're saying, listen, I want to connect either relationship with Jesus Christ in this church, or listen, I'm already saved, but listen, I don't have a church where I can fellowship with other believers. I don't have a church home. That's what we call it. Then we invite you today, that if you are here today, there are ushers that are standing in the aisle and their hands are extended. And so receiving Jesus for the first time, or already connected in a relationship and want to connect with this fellowship, won't you just follow them out right now? They'll take you across the hall to room number one. Hallelujah. Dominique, amen, 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 amen. Will there be another? Amen. Just follow them across the hallway. They'll gather some information. Amen. We'll welcome you with open arms. To those that are on Facebook or online ministry today, perhaps you're saying, listen, God is tugging at my heart. Either I have some questions or I want to connect with this fellowship. You can do that today. That there is a form that you can fill out online, a new member form. Fill that form out. If you have questions, put it on that form today. We'll answer those questions when we get the information. But fill out the form, and I promise you, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you on this coming week. And we thank God for you as well. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.